Praise God. If you can turn with me to Jeremiah 33. I want to talk a little bit tonight about our inheritance and about what we have in Jesus Christ. And in Jeremiah 33 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, 'Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, that the Lord is his name. He said, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know.'" Jeremiah was in prison. Jerusalem had been besieged and the king of Babylon had imprisoned him. And there's times in our lives when maybe we feel like we're in prison. It feels like the walls have come in, that the promises have maybe fallen off, and we're just sitting there in prison. And then the word of the Lord comes. The word of the Lord comes in the midst of imprisonment, in the midst of being bound up. And he says, "Call to me. Call to me, and I will answer you." Sometimes the last place we want to go when we're in prison, when we're in turmoil, is to God. And I want to encourage you tonight that that is our only answer. That is our only place to call, because God is desiring us. When we're in those situations, his desire is that we call out to him, that we rely on him, that we allow him to be our God, to be our source. He says, "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And if you're in prison tonight, I want to encourage you that the word of the Lord is, "Call to me. Call to me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things. I will show things you do not know." 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but yet not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed." That there is hope in God. No matter what our situation, no matter what it feels like, no matter where we are, there is hope in God. That Jesus Christ allowed us to come into a relationship with him to give us the freedom to face every situation with hope. There is nothing, it says, that you face that is not uncommon to man. And that he first faced all those things, yet he sinned not. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "He himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So we may boldly say, how many of you are ready tonight to say, boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear." That in those times, in those moments, we need to recognize that God will not forsake us. When it feels like everything is falling apart, when it feels like all things are falling to the wayside, that our strength and our anchor of hope is God. And that we can boldly say, it's not timidly say, it's not, you know, it's boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. For what can man do to me? What can mere mortals do to me? Because God is my helper. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." It goes on in verse 6 to say, "Behold, I will bring health and I will bring healing." Maybe tonight you're facing a battle over health and healing. "And the promise of the Lord is, I will heal them, and I will reveal to them the abundance of peace and of truth. And I will cause the captives." Maybe tonight you're in captivity. Maybe you're feeling like you're in a prison. "I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return. And I will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. And then it shall be to me a name of joy and a name of praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. And they will fear and they will tremble for all the goodness and the prosperity that I will provide for it. That God has a promise and a hope and a plan for each one of us. In Acts 20 and verse 32, it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." I would commend you to God and the word of his grace, that it is his grace that will build you up and will give you. It's not just building you up, but will give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That tonight each one of us has an inheritance in him. And many of you understand what an inheritance is and understand what that would mean. In Acts 26 and verse 15, he said, and this is when Paul was converted, he says, "I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.' For even those that persecute God, who go after and persecuted the people of God, there was hope. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance." That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. That your relationship with Jesus Christ today is more than this, just the forgiveness of your sins. But there is an inheritance that is waiting for each of us to lay hold of and to receive and to even use, as it were. And I want to encourage you, because many times we can get the understanding about the forgiveness of sins, about the cross of Christ and what he did for us. But sometimes it's hard for us to receive the thinking that we have an inheritance in him. That there is inheritance. And I know for each one of you, if you've got an inheritance, maybe you had a rich uncle. And if you ever got that letter, and you know the letter comes in the mail and it says there is an inheritance, there is a will, there is something for you. How many of you know, depending on how rich that uncle was, your heart might skip a beat? You might wonder, oh, I wonder what's in the letter. I wonder what's in that document. That there's something for you. And I think sometimes we think it common because we can take this word of God and think, well, it's so easily gotten. Anyone can go grab one. You can download it on the internet. It's everywhere. But if it was in a court of law, if it was in a place where you got a letter, listen, and it became as a sealed document, I said, listen, there is an inheritance for you. You know, it says a good man gives his children's children an inheritance. How much more can a good God give you? Amen? That God has an inheritance, and often we don't dig deep enough to see all that he has for us. We're sitting in prison wondering what's going on, what's happening, what's all this persecution, and yet God is saying, listen, call to me. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. Listen, within this word are great and mighty things that speak about you, about who you are in him, about what you have as an inheritance. And often we can just skip over a few words and we get the few things that we want and then we just leave it on the shelf. We don't understand how much more God has for each one of us. How much he has for his church, for his body, for those who call on his name, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I believe that Jesus saved us not just to cleanse us, but also to equip us. That I'm not just saved from eternal death, and now I get on with my life. You know, for many, that's where it begins. You know, I got saved, now I'm just going to live my life. It's me and Jesus. And as long as I can come to the cross when I feel bad or when I need forgiveness, I'll do that. But there's so much more that God wants from us, or for us. There's more than just Jesus on the cross, and I want to encourage you tonight because I really believe, you know, there's an importance to the cross, obviously. But there's so much more that Jesus has accomplished. That Jesus today is not on the cross, he's on a throne. Please forgive me if this offends you, but we seem to have figured out the cross. There's crosses on every church, almost everywhere in North America and the world. But I would that we'd begin to think about the throne. Because there's an inheritance, because today he says he sits on the throne, on the right hand of God, ruling and reigning. And he waits till his enemies are made a footstool. Now, we can celebrate the cross, and it's important to understand the cross is so essential, but the cross was really for us. The cross was for us to come into relationship with him, but there's so much more that needs to be accomplished and done in the name of the Lord. And his desire is not just to save you, but to have a relationship with you, to equip you and to encourage you and to strengthen you so that you can boldly come to that throne room of grace. Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Did you know you are qualified? How many have ever been really lousy at something? And it's frustrating. But then you go to school or you get trained and you get this certificate that says, I am qualified. I am an expert in this area. Well, that's what God is saying to you tonight. You are qualified. Not because of what you know or what you can do, but because of your relationship with him. And that's why it's so difficult, because it's not up to us. It's because of who he is. Who has qualified us to be partakers. Listen, you are qualified tonight to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. When that lawyer hands you that document, says, listen, Uncle John just gave you a part in his will. He has qualified you to claim an inheritance. I can't claim your inheritance from Uncle John. I can walk in there and say, well, I know so-and-so, and I think I should be able to qualify. No, you're not qualified. You don't have the right credentials. You don't have the right name. See, because it's in the name that is the inheritance. It's because you have the right name, and they will verify your name. They will verify your lineage, because qualification comes in the name. And Jesus Christ qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Colossians 1 and verse 12. In chapter 3 and verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord, you receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are heirs. Please allow your mind. Part of the reason we need our mind transformed is because this is difficult language. Because I think I'm just a sinner that just squeaked by the grace of God. And if I always think that way, I don't understand. Now you are. We are. There's nothing within us that qualifies us other than we believe in Jesus Christ. That I have given my life to him, and then he qualifies me because of who I am in him, in his name. See, it's not my name that brings credentials, it's his name. You know, I can think I deserve an inheritance, but unless I have the name of Uncle John who has the inheritance, there's nothing for me. But in the name, there is something that qualifies me for that inheritance. And when Jesus says that you are qualified, He's saying, listen, you have an inheritance in me that is beyond your name. That we are heirs of a promise. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them and among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Part of our walking in the inheritance is coming out of who we were and separating ourselves unto Him. Taking on a new name. Come out and separate and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What does that mean? That means I understand, because I understand what I have in Christ, I want to be like Him. Now, if you were honest with yourself and Uncle John wasn't the nicest guy, but you knew he had a lot of cash and that was something that you wanted, you might put up with a few things with Uncle John. You might, you know, have him over for coffee or lunch now and again. You may treat him a little differently, and I'm not saying that but you have to understand, if we understand the inheritance, you may become a little bit like him. Maybe he's a good guy. Maybe somebody gave you inheritance, and when we get that inheritance, it would be quite selfish of us just to go cash the check and not ever think about the giver. You understand what I'm saying? You know, thanks, Uncle John, for sacrificing your whole life, you know, doing all that stuff, or dad, or grandpa, or whatever it was. But thanks for the check, and now I'm going to go dishonor you because I got the check. Well, that's what life in Christ is a little bit about. Here, Jesus Christ died for our sin and set us free. And sometimes we forget how much slime he had to get through to get us out of. He paid the price for our sin to set us free. So if we're free, why would we go back into the slime? And this is that sanctified life. I want to be like him. He's the one that has my inheritance. Not because of the inheritance, but because of what he accomplished for me. And as I begin to understand all that he's done for me, and all that he's given, and all that he's got for me, I want to be like him. I want to honor him because of who he is. That's what the holy life is all about. We get it all messed up thinking it's our own works or something. No, it's about honoring him because we have a revelation of what he's accomplished for us. The way to an inheritance, this is point number one. The way to inheritance is through death. For most wills and inheritance, it is through a death. That someone lived their life, whatever they accomplished in life, and then they died. And somewhere in that life, they wrote their last will and testament. And they said, I give to this one and this one and this one. Well, in our inheritance, there was a death. That Jesus Christ gave his life. Romans 5 and verse 6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, we were enemies of God. Jesus Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. That Jesus, just get this into your head. Allow yourself to be transformed. Jesus died for you. And maybe, you know, I am committed that even if just one person got saved, Jesus still would have died. If it was you and you alone, Jesus would have paid that price. That his grace was sufficient, his grace was so great that even if one would turn, he would still go to that cross. And once we begin to understand that, it's such a mind-blowing thing that Jesus Christ died. That he knew my sin. Before I was formed, he made me, and he knew my sin, and because of that, he gave his life so that I could come into life. I could find out what I was really made for, that what I was really constructed for, and it wasn't rebellion, and it wasn't fleshliness, but it was to love God and to see the fullness of what he has for each one of us. John 11 and verse 25, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Galatians 2 and verse 19 says, oh, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's not just the death of Jesus. Jesus died that we could have an inheritance. And he wrote this testament, this new covenant of all the promises for us who believe. And he says, I give you a testament, a covenant. A will. Will you open it? Well, the way we open that testament is to give our lives to him. See, he died for us, but we, hear what I'm saying, die for him. As I come to the end of my life, which is repentance, is saying, Lord, there is nothing in me that deserves your grace. There is nothing in me that deserves the love that you went to the cross for. And I repent. And God, I know there's nothing I can do for you to show anything of what you've accomplished, but I give you my life. I give you my flesh. And that's part of dying to myself, and that's an ongoing thing. If we first take that step of faith, but then we also, as we live through life, we constantly are facing that battle of living by the flesh or living by the Spirit. Am I going to die to myself, or am I going to live for God? If I truly want to come into the inheritance of God, it means less of me and more of Him. Because our inheritance is in Christ. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him. It's a very important statement. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Ephesians 1:3, you're going to have a lot of scriptures tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Him. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How do I get in him? I get out of me. The less of me and the more of him, I can walk in the fullness that he has created for me to handle. Listen, I cannot handle the fullness. I would explode. If God showed you, that's why he says, we see in a as in a fog dimly the glory of the Lord. Because if you saw him face to face, you just go pop. You couldn't handle it. Your flesh would just, it'd just be like, you know, I can just see the graphic. It's just so clear, and I hope I can paint it to you. Just pop, he's gone. We can't contain God in us unless we're in him. This fleshly body cannot handle the fullness of what God has for us. So as I allow myself to get out of myself and into him, I begin to see the greatness of what he has created, what he is wanting, what he is desiring. The blessing of every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Our inheritance is ours in Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 and verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That's mind-boggling. Before the foundation of the world, like not just before I was formed in my mother's womb, but before the foundation of the world, I was chosen him. Can you see how much this will transform your mind if we really understand our inheritance? That God, a very God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world? That blows my mind. That God even had a thought of me blows my mind. But yet I was chosen before him, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, and having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Listen, his good pleasure, his desire was to bring you to a place of adoption as sons. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. He has revealed his will to us, his desire to us, according to his good pleasure. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That we would be gathered all together in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, again an inheritance in him, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You, in him, you have been sealed. You know, if you walk in that lawyer's office, when they put that little goop of ink or whatever they do, and they put their seal on it, it becomes permanent, binding. In him, you were sealed. That is crazy. That God would love us so much that he'd put his seal on us. The seal of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. When that seal goes on, it's a guarantee. You come in and you sign that will. Chunk. Guaranteed. Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This sermon's going to end with homework. You want me to do all the work for you? I'm going to give us a brief list of what we have in him. But I want you to seek it out. Find out what that means. Go to the lawyer's office. Read the fine print of all the documents, what it means. that you've been made complete in him. You see, when we talk about our standing, and Pastor Mark, you can come. See, our standing is who we are in him. And when that foundation is firm, you can stand upon that rock and be bold. You ever been on shifting sand or on, you know, you're constantly trying to find bearing, but when you understand what you have in Christ, there is a confidence and a boldness that comes into our spirit and heart. And that was his desire, to give you an inheritance. So in him, not in me, you see, there's a different side. There's our state. Our state is what we have in him and how much we understand who we are. My standing is what he has accomplished for me, but if I don't understand my standing, I'm gonna be in a mixed state. And for many of us, we're in mixed state. Something comes at us. We're stuck in prison. We're somewhere. And all of a sudden, we're freaking out. Oh, where did God go? Oh, what happened? I thought I was saved. All those things start rushing in. That's because we don't understand our standing. So in him, what I have in Christ, who we are in Christ, our standing, one is I am foreknown and I'm known. You were not some twinkle in your father's eye. Well, your heavenly father maybe, but. You were foreknown before the foundation of the world. And you are known. God knows your situation right now. He knows where you are at. He knows your circumstances. He knows. Our standing, we are foreknown and we are known, that God knows you by name. You are elect. You are chosen. God has chosen you. He's given you an opportunity. He says, you are my son. You are my daughter. We are chosen. How many of you know when you're chosen for a team, you know, I belong on that team. God says, and I am choosing you. You weren't just happening to wander in here. I chose you. And I know that can theologically mess with us, but we need to get an understanding of what God does. God is far bigger than my understanding, and I know I was chosen. I was predestined. That God had a plan for my life. That I was called. That the call of God went out for my life. I was justified. That although I didn't deserve it, he sees me just as if I'd never sinned. That I am glorified. I've been taken out of the muck and mire, and I've been set, it says, as a kingdom of priests and kings. Been glorified in him. I take on the glory of the Lord. I am redeemed. I am reconciled. I am brought into relationship with God. The gap between me and God has been joined, and now I am reconciled to him. I am propitiated. It's a big word. You got to dig deep for this one. Means my sin is completely covered. The picture of the mercy seat over the covenant, over the law. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you as the dirty, rotten sinner. He sees Jesus. And his blood covers all your sin. To understand simple propitiation will set you free. That God sees Jesus. That you are sanctified, you are set apart, you are adopted, you are brought into a relationship, brought into a family, you are delivered, you are transferred, you are qualified. You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. You have been qualified as a son, as a child, as an heir of God. You might have to listen to this on CD because I have 2 minutes. What we have in God So what we are in Christ is our standing. What we have in God is our state. And we need to get our state lined up with our standing. So this is what you have in God. Very quickly, right fast. You have an inheritance. You have relationship. You have fellowship. You have eternal life. You have peace. You have access. How many know, for many of you, and maybe not for all of you, but when you're in trouble, you can phone mom or dad. You have access. If you don't have that in your natural family, you have it in the spirit. It says, call to me. Call to me and I will show you great and excellent things. 1 minute. You have the fruit of the Spirit. You have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have ministry gifts. You have the mind of Christ. You have encouragement. You have an anchor of hope. You have boldness. You have confidence. You have anointing. You have healing. That's what you have in Christ. Now it's a matter of getting it into me. See, I understand when I understand who I am in Christ, then I can get all these things into me by the power of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to encourage you. Let's stand as we close. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of knowledge in every place, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, were the aroma of death, but to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. That He leads us in triumph, that we would be the aroma of life to a generation. There is a purpose and a reason you've been called and saved. And it wasn't just to get you to heaven, but it was to establish who you are in Him so that you can go out and change the nations. To be an aroma of life and transform lives. And I want to encourage you, maybe tonight you don't know Jesus Christ and you need to run down here. Because He's calling out to you, saying, come to me, I have an inheritance for you. I have a life for you. I have a relationship for you. Maybe tonight you're feeling like you're in prison and you need to be set free. I want to encourage you to come. There'll be those who pray. And as I close here, you're free to go. And Lord, we just pray right now for Your grace, God. That Lord, as we begin to discover who we are in You, and as we begin to unfold the inheritance and the gifts and all the things that You have for Your people, God, Lord, that we would not be caught up in the prisons of this world, but that we would understand that we can call out to a loving Father, to call out to a God who delivers and is able, and a God who will show us great and mighty things. And so, Lord, tonight I pray Your blessing on Your people, God, as they go from here. That, Lord, Your grace would abound in their situations. May, as they call out, that You would begin to show great and mighty things. That the inheritance of God is theirs. The standing in Him and You is theirs, God. As they grasp what they have in Christ, the fullness of the gift that You gave them. That they would begin, as it says, to reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.